بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 29 in our series on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakami رحمه الله. In the previous lesson, we continued the questions on توحيد الأسماء والصفات, and we looked at some comprehensive speech of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, who summarized our belief regarding the names and the attributes in a very good, clear, concise way, and he explained the position of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah by giving us the definition, what is Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, and it is to single out Allah with whatever He named Himself, and what His Messenger named Him with, and without falling into number of things, tahrif and ta'til and takif and tamthil, and that we believe that whatever Allah affirms for Himself is true and real, right? So these attributes, the names, and these attributes, they are true and real. And he went on to describe the different views that can be taken. So some groups went to an extreme and negated to such a degree that they left the fold of Islam. Some were in between, others were close to Ahlul Sunnah. But the position of the Salaf and the Sahaba is as we described, as the Sheikh described. Then he went on to give a number of examples of a name, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, Al-Sami', Al-Basir. Then he went on to give some attributes from the Sifat, Khabariyya, those attributes which we only know through revelation. He mentioned the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Istiwa, which is Allah ascending above the throne. And so he looked at all those things and he gave us a nice quick overview of the belief of Ahlul Sunnah regarding the Sifat. So today we continue where we left off. Question number 52. ما دليل الأسماء الحسنى من الكتاب والسنة? What is the evidence of the beautiful names of Allah from the book and the Sunnah? So again, these are evidences from the Qur'an and the Sunnah to establish our belief in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh rahimahullah, he said, قال الله عز وجل ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه. To Allah belong beautiful names. Very clear, Allah says it Himself, to Allah belong beautiful names. He has beautiful names. So call upon Him through them, and leave those who deviate or swerve away with respect to His names. وقال سبحانه قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى. Say, call upon Allah or call upon Ar-Rahman. Whatever whichever of them you call, then to Him belong the beautiful names. So once again, explicit mention of the beautiful names. وقال عز وجل الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. Allah, there is none worthy of worship besides He. To Him belong the beautiful names. So this is very, very clear in the Quran. As for the Sunnah, then you have the famous hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مَنْ حْسَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. and وهو في الصحيح. This is in Al-Bukhari. And also we have the supplication in which the Messenger of Allah said, this hadith is, indeed Allah has 99 names, whoever enumerates or memorizes them, meaning and acts upon what they require, then he will enter into paradise. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسألك اللهم بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي. So this supplication, I ask you, O Allah, through every name which belongs to you, which you have named yourself with, or which you have revealed in your book, or which you have taught to anyone in your creation, or which you have kept in the knowledge of the unseen with you, that you make the mighty Quran to be the spring of my heart. Right, so this is very clear evidences for Allah's names, that Allah indeed has names. And so we look at some commentary or some related speech from Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. And he says that as for the evidences of the book and the sunnah, meaning for Allah's names, then he mentions the ayah that we just mentioned, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. He mentions the ayah, to Allah belong beautiful names, so call upon him by way of them. The Shaykh says, أثبت الله سبحانه في هذه الآية لنفسه الأسماء وأخبر أنها حسنى وأمر بدعائه بأن يقال يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا حي يا قيوم يا رب العالمين. So here he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayah, he has affirmed, first of all, asma for himself, names. Now there's three things here. Number one, names, in this ayah. We take three things from this ayah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Right, so number one, the affirmation of the asma. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ حُسْنَى. So he's got names and he informed that they are beautiful. They are beautiful. And then, وَأَمَرَ بِدُعَائِهِ. Then he commanded that he be called upon, to invoke him by way of them. For example, we say, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And then he threatened those people who swerve and deviate in relation to his attributes. بمعنى أنهم يميلون بها عن الحق إما بنفيها عن الله أو تأويلها بغير معناها الصحيح. So people swerve from Allah's attributes either by denying them, so they deny Allah has the names or the attributes, in this case the names, or they explain them with other than their correct meaning. Right? So these are types of ilhad. These are ways in which you can swerve and deviate, and there are other types as well. Here Allah Azawajal has threatened such people that سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that they will be recompensed, meaning here punished for that which they used to do. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention some of the other ayat. He mentions the passage at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. Here in this passage of three verses, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions 17 names. And this passage, the scholars often use this passage to indicate, to mention, or to give an example of some of the names of Allah. And so this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. He is Allah, there's one, besides whom there is no deity worthy of worship. عالم الغيب والشهادة, there's two. هو الرحمن الرحيم, there's three and four. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. And then he mentions a series, الملك, القدوس, السلام, المؤمن, المحيمن, العزيز, الجبار, المتكبر. So Al-Malik, the King, Al-Quddus, you know, the sanctified, As-Salam, the giver of peace, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Subhanallahi, Amma Yushrikun. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور. Another three names: the creator, the creator, the maker, the fashioner. له الأسماء الحسنى. So within all these names, Allah says له الأسماء الحسنى. يسبح له ما في السماء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. So he is glorified by whatever is in the heavens and the earth, and he is Al-Aziz, the mighty, Al-Hakim, the all-wise. So very clear, these are clear evidences that Allah has clearly said about himself that he is, you know, he's Allah, he is Ar-Rahman, he is Ar-Rahim, he is Al-Malik, Al-Quddus. These are his names which he named himself with. Now, as for the Sunnah, the Shaykh goes to mention the same ahadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتَسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْسَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So the same hadith, and also the other hadith, أَوِ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبَ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكْ. Right, so I call upon you by the names. So you mentioned like different, the name that you named yourself with, which you revealed in the book, which you taught to anyone from your creation, or which you kept hidden in the knowledge of the unseen with you. Right. So this means there are different types of names. Some of, obviously, all those which he named himself with. Then some he put in a book. Some he taught to someone from the creation, but not to everyone. And there are those which he has kept in the knowledge with himself. So this is very, very clear that all of these names, يتضمن صفة من صفاته. Right, so when we believe in these names, we believe that the names indicate attributes. They are not just mere names, they actually indicate attributes because they have meanings. فالعليم يدل على العلم والحكيم يدل على الحكمة والسميع البصير يدلان على السمع والبصر. Right, so العليم, all knowing, means knowledge, indicates knowledge. Al-Hakim points to hikmah, wisdom. As-Sami' al-Basir points to hearing and seeing, and so on for all of the other attributes. Also, from the passages or a surah which indicates the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another well-known example given by the scholars to indicate this is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُلَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And this chapter, surah in the Quran, there used to be a man from the Ansar, and he used to lead the people in Masjid Quba. And when he would recite the Fatiha and then a surah, and then he would recite after that, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And, oh sorry, he used to begin with that first, then he would recite the surah or the passage of the Quran that he wanted to recite. So he used to do that in every rak'ah. So some of the companions said to him, you know, you always begin with this surah. And like, do you believe that without this, your prayer will not be accepted? Like, why are you doing it continuously in every rak'ah? So, you should either just read that alone, or you should leave it and read the other things. So he said, I'm not going to leave it. So, if you want, I will either lead you like this, and if you want, I will leave you. So, they didn't want to, you know, argue with, and because he was the best of them, you know, in position and status, because he's the imam, he appointed imam to lead them. So they went and they didn't want anybody else to lead them. So then they went to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came to them, they told him what had happened. So he called that man, Ali sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called that man, Ya fulan, ma yamna'uka an tafal ma ya'muruka bihi asabuk. Like, what's stopping you from doing what your companions are telling you, right? Either just read normally, you know, what's stopping you? وَمَا حَمَلَكَ عَلَى لُزُومِ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةِ. What's making you stick to this surah in every raka'ah? He said, Inni uhibbuha. He said, I love this surah. So he said, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاهَا أَدْخَلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, your love for it will enter you into paradise. And then there is another hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he sent a man on a mission and he would lead his companions in their prayer, and he would do the same thing. He would always end the recitation with قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And so when they said, ask this man, why does he do this? And so they asked him, and he said, لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ. Because this surah, it provides the description of Ar-Rahman with these names, Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, to the end. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, أَخْبِرُوهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّهُ. Inform him that Allah the Exalted loves him. Why? يعني أنها اشتملت على صفات الرحمن. Likewise, the Shaykh goes on to mention other ayat in the Quran. وَيَبْقَى وَجْحُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That the face of your Lord shall remain possessed of majesty and honor. And likewise, وَأَنَّ لَهُ يَدَيْنِ فَقَالَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ بَلْ يَدَاهُ. Another place, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. So he mentions the ayah in which Allah says to Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to that which I have created with my own two hands? And also the statement in response to the Yahud, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Rather, both his hands are outstretched. Likewise, there is also from the Quran and the Sunnah, وَأَنَّهُ يَرْضَى, that Allah is pleased, وَيُحِبْ, that He loves, وَيَغْضَبْ, becomes angry, وَيَسْخَطْ, that he hates and dislikes and becomes angry, إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ أَوْ وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Right, so these are some other examples of that which Allah has described Himself with, amongst other things. Now, coming to Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his commentary on this section, on this passage, he basically he says that the names of Allah are beautiful. They are present abundantly in the Quran and the Sunnah. He mentions some of them: Al-Latif, Al-Khabir, Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Fard, Al-Samad, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, Al-Qahir, Al-Muqtadir. These are all names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the same ayat that we mentioned earlier on. And he says about the first ayah, قُلِ دُعُ اللَّهِ, or the second ayah, قُلِ دُعُ اللَّهِ أَوِ دُعُ الرَّحْمَنِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. The reason for this ayah was that the pagans came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when they saw that the Qur'an mentions Ar-Rahman as the name of Allah, they said that the only Rahman that we know is the Rahman of Yamama. And they are referring to Musaylama al-Kadhab, right? The one who claimed to be a prophet, because he was known as the Rahman of Al-Yamama. So, because that was the name he used to call himself. So, this ayah was revealed in refutation of that. And the Shaykh then goes on to mention the same hadith about the 99 names, and he goes on to mention the same hadith about those names that Allah has kept hidden with Himself. And he explains that on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will come, and when he makes the sujood for the shafa'ah, for the intercession of Allah Azawajal to begin, that he will prostrate for the length of like a week, and in from min al-jum'ah ila al-jum'ah, from jum'ah to jum'ah. And it is mentioned in the hadith, yahmaduhu bimahamida lam yahmadhu biha ahadun mimman kana qablah wa lan yahmadahu biha ahadun mimman kana ba'dah. Which means that in that prostration that the Messenger of Allah will be making, he will praise Allah with such mahamid, such praises, that no one before him has ever made, and no one after him will ever make. And the Shaykh says, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire him to say praises which are other than the ones that we are familiar with. And it will be through names that, you know, that other than the ones that we are familiar with. And Allah knows best. So meaning that there are from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, he's kept with himself, that nobody knows, and he will inspire them to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawmul Qiyamah, when he will make dua to Allah and prostrate to Allah for the intercession to begin. And within that there will be praises that, you know, we don't know, and it will be through names that we don't know. So the Shaykh mentioned that, and then we move to the next question. And the next question is, ما مثال الأسماء الحسنى من القرآن? Right? What are some examples of names of Allah from the Quran? So, Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah, he mentions numerous ayat to give us examples of Allah's names. مثل قوله تعالى إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. Right? Indeed, Allah is ever عليًا كبيرا. عليًا meaning the lofty, the high. كبيرا meaning the great. That he is lofty, he's high, and he's great. إن الله كان لطيفا خبيرا. Indeed, ever is Allah, meaning Allah eternally. This wording here, إن الله كان عليا خبيرا. It means ever is Allah, meaning eternally is Allah. لطيفا خبيرا. لطيف, the subtle, the all aware. إنه كان عليما قديرا. Indeed, ever is he عليما, all knowing, قديرا, all powerful. إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. Ever is Allah hearing, all hearing, all seeing. إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. Ever is Allah mighty, wise. إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. And ever is Allah غفور, the forgiving, رحيما, the merciful. إنه بهم رؤوف رحيم. Indeed, he is with them compassionate and merciful. والله غني حليم. Allah is غني, meaning the one who is free of need. حليم, who is حليم, like forbearing. إنه حميد مجيد. Verily he is praiseworthy and glorious. إن ربي على كل شيء حفيظ. Indeed, my Lord is حفيظ, over everything. حفيظ, the one who oversees, protects, safeguards, knows, is aware. إن ربي قريب مجيب. Indeed, my Lord is قريب, he is near. He is مجيب, the one who responds to the supplication. إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Allah is رقيب, the one who is, you know, indeed Allah is ever watchful, the watchful. He is watchful over you. وكفى بالله وكيلا. Sufficient is Allah as one, as a wakil, meaning one to whom you entrust your, the guardian, the one you entrust your affairs to. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah is a hasib, meaning the one sufficient is Allah as a hasib, as a reckoner, as one who reckons. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And ever is Allah one who is a keeper over everything. A muqit, meaning one who is ever able, he's like a keeper over everything. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in shaheed. Indeed, Allah is over, ever is he over everything, a witness. Ala innahu bi kulli shay'in muheet. Verily, he is with everything muhit, meaning all encompassing. And he continues, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ Ayatul Kursi, Al-Hay, the ever-living, the self-sustaining, sustainer of everything else. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ He is the first and the last. He is the uppermost. He is the وَالْبَاطِنُ which means that he is the nearmost. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ You know, he is alim over everything. He is all aware, all knowledgeable of everything. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ Which is the lengthy passage which has like the 17 names. He goes through all of that to the end. So as you can see, these are many, just a sample of many, many ayat in the Quran where specific names are mentioned either on their own or the names are mentioned in connection in pairs, so one name with another name, Sami'an Basira, Azizan Hakima, Hamidun Majid, and there are wisdoms behind that. There's knowledge in this as well, because some names, when they are mentioned with other names, they indicate a perfection on top of an already existing perfection, right? So Allah is Aziz and He's Hakim, so He's Aziz in His hikmah, and so these meanings they enter into each other and they give another level of perfection on top of the perfection of that name and attribute in and of itself. So commenting upon this, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he just simply has a short paragraph, and in this short paragraph he actually mentions the same hadith that we mentioned earlier on, the hadith about أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ Right? The names which Allah has kept to Himself. So we don't need to repeat that again. We'll now turn to the commentary upon this list of names from from these examples, so the commentary here is from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, Hafidhullah. And so on this list, on these ayat from the Quran, he says that the beautiful names, these are names which are far-reaching in their beauty, in their goodness. And although the creation is named with some of these names, like not these names, but in general we are given names, we have names, but not all names of the creation are necessarily husna, they're not necessarily beautiful, right? So we have names, the creation, the creatures have names, but their names are not all beautiful. Or it could be, they could be beautiful names, but they do not reach the perfection, like the utmost perfection, like we see in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the case of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though that perfection returns back to the fact that the attribute that it points to is true and exists for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So if Allah is called Ar-Rahim, Allah indeed has rahmah, right? If Allah is al-hakim, Allah is indeed wise and has wisdom. If Allah is al-kareem and al-latif and all those other, it's because Allah has that quality. Whereas with the creation, just because they are named with a name, a person might be called Jawad, the one who is generous. But is he generous? He could be bakhil, he could be stingy. The sifa, right? So just because he's called Jawad does not mean he has the sifa of Jud, of generosity. This is the nature of the creatures. They are given names, but they do not necessarily possess the attributes that the names possess, right? In terms of the the attributes and the qualities. Whereas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything He is named with, He is named because He, you know, those attributes are true and real. Whereas with the creation, a person might be called Salih, but he's not actually Salih, he's not righteous. You know, a person might be called, as I said, Jawad, you know, generous, but he's not really generous, and so on. And this is the nature of the names which are given to the to the creation. Whereas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we see? We see, first of all of His names are beautiful, like in themselves, the names themselves, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Latif, you know, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, like when these are beautiful names. And not only are they beautiful, they indicate attributes of perfection which Allah possesses. So the names correspond to the attributes, and the attributes give, you know, the name, they indicate the names, right? This is how it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَهُ مِن كُلِّ إِسْمٍ, for every name that He has, you know, there are attributes, and there are many, you know, there are meanings that relate to these attributes. Okay, so that's the commentary of Shaykh Salih al-Sheikh on that. And this takes us to the next question. So that was question 53. مَا مِثَالُ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Now we move to question 54. مَا مِثَالُ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى مِنَ السُنَّةِ. Right, so now we want some examples of the names of Allah from the Sunnah. So once again, we have numerous texts. We find it in the supplications often in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. Right, so this is a supplication. Within this supplication, there is the names العظيم, الحليم, and likewise, you know, رب, and so on and so forth. Likewise, the supplication of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the other, you know, the remembrance, ya hayy ya hayyu ya qayyum ya dhal jalali wal ikram ya badi' as samawati wal ard. So Allah is hayy qayyum, He is the possessor of al jalal wal ikram and badi' as, the originator of the heavens and the earth. Likewise, bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ard wa la fis samaa wa huwa as samiul alim. As-Sami al-Alim. Likewise, in the supplication, Allahumma alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada, fatir al-samawati wal-ard, rabb kulla shay'in wa-malika. Numerous, alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada, the knower of the unseen and the seen, fatir, the originator of the heavens and the earth. Likewise, in the other supplication, Allahumma rabb al-samawati al-sab'a, ورب العرش العظيم ربنا ورب كل شيء فالك الحب والنوى, the splitter of the grain and the date, you know, the date stone, منزل التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن, you know, the one who revealed the Torah and the Injil and the Quran, and then أعوذ بك من شر كل ذي شر أنت آخذ بناصيته, I seek refuge in you from the evil of everything, whose evil, from every possessor of evil, whom you take by his forelock. أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلْ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرْ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرْ فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنْ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. So he mentioned four names, الأول, الآخر, الظاهر, والباطن. Likewise, اللهم لك الحمد, أنت نور السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن. So here there is the name قيوم السماوات. Likewise in the supplication, اللهم إني أسألك بأني أشهد أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. So here, the names Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, where you know what we see in Surah Al-Ikhlas. وَقَوْلُهُ يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبَ O turner of the heart. And to the end of the hadith, ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي to the end of the hadith. So here now, we've seen, just like from the Qur'an, we had many examples of Allah's names. Here we see other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Ahmed the Najmi, rahimullah, he doesn't comment upon any of this. These are just examples. If we go to the other commentary, then we come to the commentary of Shaykh Ibn Taymin, rahimahullah ta'ala. And commenting upon... So now what we've done is we've given examples from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah of actual names, right? So we started with the first question, what is Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat? We looked at the principles, the basic formula. We affirm for Allah what He affirmed for Himself and what His Messenger affirmed for Him, without, you know, ta'til, tahreef, takif, tamthil. And these affirmations, they are true and real attributes. And these attributes, names and attributes, there are names, there are attributes, there are actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's istiwa, and things like that. And then we looked at, you know, what's the evidence that Allah has names, right? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, right? Ayat like that. Then we looked at specific examples from the Qur'an, and now we looked at specific examples from the Sunnah. The next, so what Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, does next is, just give us some basic principles on the basis of what's preceded already. So he says that the principles regarding the evidences for Allah's names and attributes, right? So in other words, these texts that we've just read, they are evidences for His names. But there are principles that relate to these evidences. Right, there are qawaid that relate to the adilla, to the actual evidences. And this is what he's going to point out now. So he says, Al-Qa'idatul Ula, Al-Adilla التي ثبتت بها أسماء الله تعالى وأسماء الله تعالى أسماء الله تعالى وصفاته هي كتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فَلَا تُثْبَتْ أَسْمَاءُ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتُهُ بِهِرِهِمَا. A simple principle, which is that Allah's names and His attributes can only be established by the book and the sunnah, right? It can't be through any other way. Whatever Allah is named with, it can only come from the book and the sunnah. So therefore, وعلى هذا فما ورد إثباته لله تعالى من ذلك في الكتاب والسنة وجب إثباته. Right. So therefore, anything which comes in the book and the sunnah, it is wajib, it is obligatory to affirm it. وما ورد نفيه فيهما وجب نفيه مع إثبات كمال ضده. Right. And as for what Allah has negated, whatever Allah negates, then it is obligatory that we negate it from Allah. Right? So for example, Allah has negated death from Him, from Himself. But He says we have to ma'a ithbat kamali diddihi. Right? So we can't just stop at the negation. We have to affirm the opposite. Right? So because we don't just make the negation in itself. So if Allah negates death from Himself, then we affirm perfect life for Him. Right? If we negate forgetfulness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we affirm perfect knowledge and, you know, perfect knowledge. So this is the first, continuing the principle. وَمَا لَمْ يَرِدْ إِثْبَاتُهُ وَلَا نَفْيُهُ فِيهِمَا وَجَبَ التَّوَقُّفْ فِي لَفْظِهِ فَلَا يُثْبَتْ وَلَا يُنْفَى لِعَدَمِ وُرُودِ الْإِثْبَاتِ وَالنَّفِي فِيهِ. Now, there's another category, which is something which is neither affirmed nor is it negated. Right? So it's neither affirmed by Allah nor is it negated by Allah. What's our position towards it? Basically, we withhold, and, you know, regarding the word, and then it is neither affirmed nor is it negated. Right? So in other words, this is regarding the word, the word. The word, right? And we'll give an example shortly. Now, So this is the word itself. We don't affirm the word, right? But as for the ma'na, وَأَمَّا ma'na, as for the meaning indicated by the word, then, you know, we make tafsil. If the meaning is something which is a correct meaning that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the meaning is accepted. And if it is a meaning that does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is rejected. Right? It is rejected. The Shaykh will actually give an example of this. We'll come to an example of this. So meaning that, remember, this is about principles to do with the adilla, right? How are we treating the adilla? What are we making to be a dalil on the basis of which we are affirming names and attributes for Allah, right? So it's very clear that whatever Allah Himself has mentioned and His Messenger has mentioned, it's wajib to take that dalil and to believe in it, right? Whatever Allah negated death from Himself, sleep from Himself, tiredness from Himself, dhulm from Himself, right? So we have to negate it, right? Because that's based upon evidence. Now, if there is something that someone comes along and starts using some words, some names, some speech, right, to describe Allah, to affirm an attribute for Allah, and we can't find this anywhere in the book and the sunnah, what is our position towards this situation, right? He comes with a word. Does Allah have a jiha? A jiha, right? Does Allah have a makan, right? Jiha, like, okay, well, the Quran, sunnah, we can't find anywhere the word jiha in affirmation or negation. So we are not going to use that word. We're not using the word, right? But what do you mean? Now, what do you mean by this word? It depends now. If you mean a meaning which is sound and is indicated by the Quran and the Sunnah, then we accept the meaning, but we use the wording of the Quran and the Sunnah. But if this meaning that you intend by this word is not befitting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we reject the meaning as well. We reject the meaning, sorry. So the Shaykh goes on to say that, now he goes on to mention something here which I'm going to leave for the next lesson. We'll leave this bit here. It's a technical issue to do with words and how they indicate, you know, things. Mutabaqa, at-tadammun, iltizam. We'll leave that for the next lesson. And also he says that from the principles also is that وَمِنْهُ كُلُّ صِفَةٍ دَلَّ عَلَيْهَا فِعْلٌ مِّنْ أَفْعَالِهِ كَالْإِسْتِوَاءِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَالنُّزُولِ. So meaning that from the evidences are those that relate to His actions, right? So there are names of Allah, there are attributes of Allah, and there are actions. كَالْإِسْتِوَاءِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَالنُّزُولِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْمَجِيءِ لِلْفَصْلِ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. These are actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He descends, He ascends, He rises above His throne, He will come and arrive on the Day of Judgment to judge between His creatures. And these types of actions, there are many actions like this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah وَيَفْعَلُ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah does whatever He wills, which means that His actions are many, and they cannot be enumerated, nor their types. Right? So these are types of evidences that indicate Allah's actions. Likewise, وَمِنْهُ الْوَجْهُ وَالْعَيْنَانِ وَالْيَدَانِ. Allah has a face, two hands, and eyes. وَمِنْهُ الْكَلَامِ وَالْمَشِيئَ وَالْإِرَادَةِ. Allah also has speech, He has will, He has irada, which is like the wish. And this is of two types, الْكَوْنِ وَالشَّرْعِ. Right? Allah has a will that relates to His creation and what He does in creation. And then He has a will that relates to the things that He wants from His servants, right? Things that He likes and is pleased with. وَمِنْهُ الرِّضَى وَالْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْغَضَبِ وَالْكَرَاهَةِ. Likewise, from His attributes is pleasure, الرِّضَى, وَالْمَحَبَّةِ, and love, And likewise, al-ghadab, anger and dislike. Likewise, from the things, وَمِمَّا وَرَدَ نَفْيُهُ عَنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ لِانْتِفَائِهِ وَثُبُوتِ كَمَالِ ضِدِّهِ, from the things negated from Allah because of His perfection, because He doesn't have this and because of His perfection, al-maut, death, al-nawm, sleep, was-sina, tiredness, wal-ajz, incapacity, wal-i'ya, you know, being rendered incapable, wal-dhulm, oppression, wal-ghafla, being unaware, heedless, and a'mal al-ibad, of what the servants are doing, wa-an yakuna lahu mathil, that he has a like to himself, aw kufu, like an equal, and other things like a sami, one who deserves to have the same name as him, nid, a rival, and so on, all the other things. Right? So these things are negated clearly in the Quran. Then the Shaykh goes on to give the example that I mentioned of a word which has not been mentioned. The word jiha, for example, direction. Do we find in the Quran and the Sunnah the word jiha mentioned anywhere? We don't. Right? There is no word jiha. And so therefore, we look at what it could mean. It could either mean Allah is in a direction beneath, low, or He's in a direction above where He is, you know, encompassed by something. Or Allah is above every single thing and is not encompassed by anything. Right? So the person using this word who comes to us and says, does Allah have a jiha? Now what do you mean? What are you thinking when you use the word jiha? What do you mean? So we ask what he means, right? The word is not found in the book and the sunnah. What do you mean? If you mean the first meaning, Allah, like meaning in the direction of low, in the direction of, you know, suful, laddo, this is batil, rejected for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you mean Allah is above, but you believe that it means he's encompassed by something? Well, this is batil as well. Because, لأن الله تعالى أعظم من أن يحيط به شيء من مخلوقاته, that he's greater than that anything should encompass him from his creation. If you mean the third, that Allah لأن الله تعالى العلي فوق خلقه ولا يحيط به شيء من مخلوقاته, Allah is above everything, nothing encompasses him, then obviously this is correct and true, right? The meaning is true, but the wording in the Sharia is, you know, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, he is al-qahir, above his servants, you know, and the other ayat which indicate his ulu. Now, the Shaykh goes on to say, okay, what's the basis for what we have just described? Meaning, what's the evidence for the fact that we can only affirm for Allah on the basis of evidences, of the adilla from the Quran and the Sunnah that we just preceded? What's the evidence for this methodology? And the answer is, the Shaykh is going to bring other ayat from the Quran to explain that this is the methodology, right? So meaning our methodology itself is proven by the Quran, right? So it's important to pay attention to this, because the other people, you know, the methodology that they follow, you know, it does not really have a basis in the Quran. So as for evidence from the revelation, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, this is a book, we revealed it blessed, so follow it and have taqwa in order that you may be shown mercy. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ, right? Believe in Allah and His Messenger, and believe in Allah and His unlettered Prophet, His Messenger, the unlettered Prophet, who believes in Allah and His words. So follow him in order that you may be guided. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, Whatever the messenger gives to you, take it. Whatever he prohibits you from, leave it, avoid it, shun it.
من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله.
Whoever obeys Allah, whoever obeys the messenger, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا. As for the one who turns away, we have not sent you as a watcher over them. Likewise, فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا.
If you do dispute in anything, then return it back to Allah and His Messenger. If you truly believe in Allah on the last day, that is better, that is good and better for final determination, for the best outcome.
وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَاحْذَرْهُمْ.
Right? And judge between them by what Allah has revealed. Do not follow their desires and be cautious, be cautious of them. So all of these ayat, what's the evidence? What do these ayat show? These verses that we read, they show the obligation to believe in Allah. To believe in Allah in the way that has come in the Quran. And what's that way that has come in the Quran? Allah has mentioned about himself that he's Allah, he's Rahman, he's Rahim, he's Malik al-Quddus, and all the other names that we see, many of the names. Right? So the command to have iman in Allah is itself a command to have iman in all of his names and attributes that have come, and to return all disputes to them. Right? So, a person who refuses to go back to the Quran and to follow the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this topic, then he is someone who he doesn't really believe. He can't really have iman in the Quran and in Allah if he refuses to act upon these ayat.
وَلَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ.
We have revealed upon you the book as a clarification, tibyan, as an explanation of every single thing. And he says, it is known that many of the affairs have actually come in the sunnah, right? They are elaborated upon by the sunnah. The Quran is explained and elaborated by the sunnah. So it is a must to follow the Quran and to follow the sunnah as well. And particularly in this topic of the names and attributes. What is the point here? The point here is, what constitutes evidence for Allah's names and His attributes? It is the ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah. They are the adillah. Okay, now then, what about aql? What about reason? The Shaykh finishes in a sentence or so by saying, وَأَمَّا الْأَقَلْ فنقول إن تفصيل القول فيما يجب أو يمتنع أو يجوز في حق الله تعالى من أمور الغيب التي لا يمكن إدراكها بالعقل فوجب الرجوع فيه إلى ما جاء في الكتاب والسنة. So what about أقل? What about reason now? Is reason, is it from the أدلة? The أدلة, القرآن, السنة. What is reason from the adilla? And the Shaykh says that the detailed speech about what is obligatory for Allah, what Allah must be described with, what Allah cannot be described with, is impossible to describe Allah with, what is permissible to describe Allah with, these different types, with respect to Allah, this is from the affairs of the unseen. This is from the umur of the ghayb. And we are not able to reach them by way of the aql, by way of reason. Therefore, we have to return back to what has come in the kitab and the sunnah. Now, just to be clear, we have to be clear as to what we are saying here. What we are saying here is, when it comes to what constitutes evidence for affirming Allah's names and attributes, it is the Quran and the sunnah only, right? It is not aql, right? Aql is not like a foundational returning point to decide what can be said of Allah what cannot be said of Allah, the aql isn't a foundation. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that reason, you know, like the reason is unable to acquire some knowledge of Allah just from basic reflection. It can, right? Because we know Allah exists by way of reason. We know Allah must have, you know, He is Alim, He is Qadir. These are basic, you know, basic attributes and names that we can know by way of reason. But is reason a dalil in and of itself, like the Quran is a dalil and the Sunnah is a dalil? No, it's not. Right? So we can't put aql and put it on the same level as the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the mistake. This is what the people of Kalam have done, the mutakallimeen. Right? They've made aql to be the foundation. It is the thing upon which everything else rests. It is the aql that decides what Allah can be described with, what He cannot be described with, right? What is wajib for Him, what is mumtani' for Him, what is yajuz for Him, ja'iz for Him, right? This is their mistake, this is what they've done. And as a result of that, they've fallen into many, many mistakes, fell into many, many contradictions. In the Quran and Sunnah, there are no contradictions. So we have to very clearly understand this point. What was the purpose behind this question? This question is really to indicate what is the nature of evidence in the topic of Allah's names and attributes. It is only the Quran and the Sunnah. As for aql, it is not a dalil in that same way, right? We can't return to aql as a dalil in that manner, right? Even though reason itself, from itself, yes, we can acquire some knowledge, some limited knowledge of what Allah, you know, His attributes, but it's not like a foundation or a criterion or something that is an asl or the dalil in itself, right? And this is the difference between us and the people of Kalam, the mutakallimeen. This is why they went astray, and there were reasons for that. But anyhow, this brings us to the end of this question, and inshallah that brings us to the end of today's lesson. We'll continue from this one onwards, inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.